The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Age-Wise Living with Barbara Friesner. Barbara is here to keep you educated on elder care issues. She will give you the information you need to help your aging loved one and yourself. Now, here is your host, Barbara Friesner.
Good morning and welcome to Age-Wise Living. Thank you all so much for joining us today. I'm your host, Barbara Friesner, and my company is Age-Wise Living. And this past weekend, I was upstate New York visiting my sister, and we were talking, and through the course of a conversation, I happened to say, I hate confrontation. And I think most people hate confrontation. I suppose there's some people who like it, but I don't like those people. No, sorry. But I think most people really don't like confrontation, though some people handle it better than others. But I hate confrontation, and I'll do just about anything to avoid one. And my sister said, isn't it interesting that because you hate confrontation so much, you've made it your life's work to help families work together so that it's not a confrontation. And suddenly I realized that's exactly what I do. I'm a generational coach, and as a generational coach, I help family members, usually siblings, but I help the family members work together and figure out, first of all, what is the core issue, and then what is the solution, and then together work with their parents so they can all work together to confront the issues, not each other. And really, it was like the light bulb going off in my head, because that absolutely defines what I do. And since all generational coaching is by phone, I work with family members all over the country. Now, I work only with the family members, never the seniors. But I help the family members work together, and then I help them work with their parents. I'm also an adjunct professor at Cornell University, where I teach senior housing management, and I write a free weekly newsletter with lots of great articles about all kinds of different issues affecting seniors and their families. And I write a monthly column for the National Association of Baby Boomer Women and a monthly column for Caregiving in America, which is a new monthly national magazine. And I'm the creator of the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, which you'll find all about on the shop page of my website, agewiseliving.com. And because of my mother's dementia, dementia is a particular passion of mine, so I created a CD called Is It Simple Forgetfulness or the Real Thing? And you can also find that on the shop page of my website, and that's agewiseliving.com. And by the way, while you're there looking at those, if you haven't already signed up for my free legal and financial organizer, I hope that you will do that. You just go to any page of my website and just fill out the little thing with your name and your email address, and I will send you my free legal and financial organizer. And to help people avoid problems before they happen, I also do speeches and workshops all over the country. And I have this show, which is Age-Wise Living, because it's my mission to help family members help their aging loved ones resolve their elder care issues by choice and not crisis. Now, I became a generational coach as the result of over 25 years of personal experience as a care manager, and I can tell you, and many of you have probably figured this out for yourselves from your own personal experience, that one of the most difficult things a family member has to do is advocate for their parents in all kinds of situations, whether it's about their living situation or for health and or the right health care or benefits or with the IRS, which is something I had to do. But whatever you do, or whatever the situation, you're walking a very fine line to make sure your parents get what they need and what they deserve. You want to be pleasant because you don't want to make problems for your mother, but this is your mother that they're messing with. So it's a tough thing to do. And that's why I'm so pleased to be doing today's program. It's called How to Be Your Loved One's Advocate, so you can assure your loved one gets the ongoing care they need and deserve. And to answer our questions, I'm really delighted to have with us today Jack Halpern, who is an advocate for elders and their families. So welcome, Jack.
Thank you very much. Nice to be on the show.
Well, I'm delighted to have you here. And Jack is a trusted advocate for elders and their families, assisting them with drafting blueprints for their future. And Jack helps those he works with by navigating the difficult and sometimes confusing pathways of elder care. And as a result, elders and their families have peace of mind knowing that plans of action have been designed to help them maintain control and preserve their dignity and protect their independence and finances and property and rights. Jack has held several key leadership roles during his 35 years in the nursing home industry. These included administrator and executive management, supervising housekeeping and building services, so he's been all over the house. Jack is very active in many organizations dealing with the geriatric population. He's founded a number of elder care advocacy groups, including the Orion Resource Group Elder Care Advocacy Group and the Senior Umbrella Network of New York. And he's also a member of the Eastside Council on the Aging and Health and Business Alliance. And he often speaks to community groups and trade associations and other advocacy groups and political functions. And his seminars on elder care and abuse are widely attended by both consumers and professionals. And he's also appeared as an expert witness on Court TV and as a commentator on a cable television network. Jack holds a Master's of Professional Studies degree with a major in long-term care administration from CW Post College, and he's a licensed nursing home administrator in both New York and New Jersey, so quite a background for this information. So, again, Jack, welcome. I am delighted to have you here with us today.
Thank you very much, and let me thank you also for the great work that you do. You very much complement what I do. Can help people deal with the various issues that they have to deal with their families. So you do a great job. All the clients that I've sent you have spoken very highly of your services.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I send people to you as well, and one of the questions that often comes up, if I, as the family member, am the advocate, then why do I need another advocate? I mean, what is it that you do, and why do I need you?
Okay. Well, an elder advocate is someone who, by experience and education, is qualified to act on our behalf in matters of elder care. Most of my clients, and like you, most of my clients are actually the children. I think yours are more the seniors, but mine are the children of the elders. I don't have too many elders who call me for services for themselves, but most of the time they call me in crisis. A crisis, a family member, a parent has broken a hip or had a stroke, and suddenly they're at the hospital. The family gathers, and they have no idea what to do. They start hearing things like Medicare, Medicaid, rehab. They have to know their finances, and suddenly they are gripped with this fear. Now, what do we do? Most people, unfortunately, do not plan for this event, so at that time, an advocate is somebody that will help them sort things out, help them, will represent them with the staff in the hospital, and speak on their behalf, and make things run smoothly so that the family can spend time helping their loved one get better and repair whatever is damaged, and do that instead of having to run around and deal with doctors and things like that.
Which is absolutely a need. When I also only deal with the family members, I know that it's such a difficult situation, especially in the crisis. My tagline is elder care issues resolved by choice, not crisis. But as you said, people often haven't made all of the plans that they needed and all of the advanced planning into place. So when is the best time to begin planning for elder care services?
The best time, of course, to plan for a crisis or an elder care event is when one is healthy. Usually when people are in their senior years, I say 60 to 70, that's a good time to do a needs assessment, to kind of figure out, what they're about, what their health situation, to do that with the family. It's always important to do that as a family event. It should be initiated actually by the children to make sure that when the crisis comes, it's not that much, it's an easier thing to deal with when you're not dealing in crisis. Crisis always makes things more difficult. A child might notice that their parent is leaving the gas on, or they see that they're a bit confused, or they see that a parent is not eating, or maybe showing early signs of dementia, or not sleeping properly. I mean, these are always indicators that planning has to begin, and that an event might be imminent. You might notice your parents losing weight, or they're lethargic, and that's really the best time to begin to set a plan into place.
Absolutely, before they need, or just as you're beginning, even if you don't absolutely know that it's an issue, even if you just anticipate, you start to see things that make you a little bit nervous, but, everybody knows that we're all going to age, and that's the best case scenario, is that we're all going to age, so it's really, you start planning because you know it's going to happen. And you talk about a plan, so what are some of the elements of a good plan?
Okay, a good plan should include, Of course, financial planning. It should have provisions for how will we pay for elder care services when we need them. Can we afford to self-insure for long-term care, or should we purchase long-term care insurance? Would we want to live in an assisted living facility or a retirement community? And the breadwinner might need long-term care. What will happen to the spouse? We have to depend on our kids. None of us want to depend on our kids, so we have to have a plan. Certainly, we need a medical plan. We have to, at age 55, 60, 65, we should be putting together our medical records as we go to doctors. If we have x-rays, if we have reports, those things should begin to be saved in a book. So that they're available when a crisis comes. It's always easier for doctors in a hospital to deal with someone when they have documentation.
That shows what the baseline is, absolutely. And we're going to stop here for a short break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to Age Wise Living. And our guest today is Jack Halperin. And when we come back, he's going to be answering more questions about advocacy. And to get more information about Jack, please go to My Elder Advocate. That's MyElderAdvocate.com. And while you're there, I encourage you to click over to his blog. That's a lot of really great information. So again, that's MyElderAdvocate.com. And you can call him also at 212-945-7550. So with that, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Our elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind. Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary get-acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Amanda, age 3. Tyler, age 8. Marissa, age 4.5.
We could tell you just how many child abductions last year led to Amber Alerts, but this isn't about cold statistics. It's about saving kids.
Shaniqua, age 14.
To get free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. When an alert is issued in your area, you'll receive it as a free text message. Wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in your brain inspired really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
To AgeWise Living, I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we're talking with Jack Halpern. And he's talking about how you can be an advocate for your parents. And before we went on the break, I mentioned to get more information about Jack, you can go to his website, which is myelderadvocate.com. And while you're there, I really encourage you to click over to his blog.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary get-acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to Age-Wise Living. It's for real this time. I'm not sure what happened. We had some technical difficulties, but we are back because you just can't hold us down. Anyway, I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we're talking with Jack Halpern, and he is helping us to advocate for our parents. And when we went on the break, Jack, you were talking about some of the elements of a good plan, and you mentioned the medical ones, and you're absolutely right. I mean, I know that when I go in for medical tests and stuff, it's important for them to know what my baseline is so they know what normal looks like. So certainly having the medical issues or having the medical information, the x-rays and that sort of thing. What are some of the other elements of a good elder care plan?
Okay, just back very quickly back to the medical plan. It's also important to have correct diagnoses, medications, of course, physician reports, and physician's continuity. And, of course, we have to have a good legal plan. We have to get an elder law attorney or an estate attorney to deal with power of attorney, healthcare proxy, with Medicaid planning and with estate planning. These are very, very important issues to have in place so that when we do have a crisis, everything is in place and everything is legal.
Great. Okay. Now, let's say, for example, that my elderly mother just went into the hospital with a broken hip. And unfortunately, that happens a lot. So how do I effectively advocate for her?
Okay. The first thing that I tell a family to do in a situation is to realize that your parent is going to be bedbound if it's a broken hip or if it's a stroke. So the first thing to do is ask the staff at the hospital to get an air mattress because the elderly generally are very thin-skinned and they might develop bed sores, and those things take a long time to heal. Of course, you have to be concerned about the bed sores. You have to make sure that the doctor is communicating with you. In many cases, you're dealing with residents that are running around, maybe telling you half stories. It's important for you to find out who your attending physician is and make sure that that attending physician stays in touch with you and tells you what's happening every step of the way.
And that's why it's also so important to have the healthcare proxy, your parents' healthcare proxy, because they won't talk to you if you don't have the signed piece of paper.
Absolutely, you're correct, Barbara. And of course, you want to make sure that your loved one is not over-medicated. A lot of hospitals give their elderly patients drugs to kind of keep them in control and keep them quiet. So you want to make sure that your loved one is not put on those psychotropic drugs. And many times you have to be forceful and you have to say to the doctor, I do not want my loved one on those drugs. You'll have to manage them the right way without psychotropic drugs. You have to make sure that they're getting a proper diet, that they're eating. A lot of times a nurse's aide in the hospital will put a tray down in front of somebody that has a broken hip who can't move and won't cut up their food. And so they bring the tray full and they take the tray full. So you have to make sure that they're feeding them. And those are, the first elements in the first few days that you can ensure that they get proper care in the hospital.
Absolutely, and I really, really strongly second the issue about the psychotropic drugs. They did that with my mother, it took a lot of work and talking to the right people and really not being very nice about it, but we did get her off of it, and it takes some time. You can't just stop it, and it takes some time to get it off and to figure out what was really going on and why she was agitated and why she was irritated, so that it was taken care of. And at one point I just said, you don't give her any drugs until I approve them. You have to clear everything through me. And as it turned out, at the time of her death, which was 10 years later, she wasn't on any medication because she was fine. It was what they did for themselves. But it's one of those things where, especially with doctors and the hospital staff, but especially with doctors, where the elderly, especially these people, to them are considered gods, and their word is law. So, how do you effectively deal with the doctors and the hospital staff?
Well, that's a tough one. You have to be polite, but you have to be demanding. You have to be, you know, you have to have some, you know, you have to be forceful in certain cases. It's nice to be polite. You don't want to be telling the doctors and the hospital staff what to do. You don't want to badger them every minute. You know, my mom needs this, my mom needs that. You know, you want to understand that hospitals today are short-staffed, and you want to, you know, you want to empathize with that, but at the same time, you want to ensure that the important things with your mom or dad are taken care of, that they are receiving the proper medication and the proper diets and everything that they need, and that they're not, that their condition is not worsening. So you have to sometimes call a doctor three or four times, but be polite but let them know that you have to know what's doing with your loved one.
And you can't just give up either, because one of the things here, the whole squeaky wheel kind of thing, if with so many people to deal with, they're going to deal with the ones where they know they're going to have to answer to the family member. So they know that if they're going to have to give you an answer, that they need to have the answer. So just knowing that you're not giving up will help the doctor and the hospital staff to sort of focus.
Well, they're not going to, in many cases, they're not going to be happy, and they might give you a dirty look. But, hey, you know, you're taking care of your loved one. They're taking care of a whole bunch of people. Unfortunately, the situation in hospitals for the elderly today are that they are considered people in transition. An elder person comes in, immediately they're treated as, hey, you know, they just have the same disease, the same illnesses as all other aged people. They don't really have a geriatric physician see the patient. And they're in transition. They're going to go to rehab in a few days. So, you know, in many cases, we don't have to feed them. We don't really have to do things for them, because they'll be in a nursing home in a few days. So you have to be forceful as an advocate, or get an advocate who will be forceful.
Yeah, and you talk about in transition. What should I expect during the hospital discharge planning stage?
Okay.
I mean, at that point, and I know we had somebody who was a hospital discharge planner, and one of the things she said is that you really start planning the discharge on the day they go in.
Right. Right. They do. Discharge planner has a discharge planner, or as they're often called, case managers. They have only one function in the hospital. Their function is to get your loved one out of that hospital as soon as possible, as soon as the doctor okays it, and get them over to rehab. They don't want people laying around in those beds, and they begin the discharge process right away. So you can expect them to be in a rush, but again, it's your loved one. You're not always in a rush, and you shouldn't always be in a rush. You have to make clear decisions. Many of the discharge planners will give you a list of nursing homes almost immediately, and they will tell you, choose three. What are you going to do with that list? You have a list of 75 names. You don't know which facilities are good or bad. The discharge planner won't make a decision for you, won't tell you which one is good or bad, and you have to choose three. So you'll have to go. You'll have to go and check out a few of those homes, and I'll talk a little bit more later on what you do in that process. And make sure you don't sign anything that you don't understand. If you like, if you don't have an advocate, then have an attorney look at it. Don't just pick three nursing homes, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and then sign that you've chosen those nursing homes. Because what might happen is they might send that person to a nursing home without your permission, and say later on that they had your permission. That's a very, very important important thing. And
good advice. And I tell you what, we're gonna stop again right here for a short break. This is Barbara Friesner. You're listening to Age-Wise Living, and our guest today is Jack Halpern. And when we come back, he's going to be giving us lots more information about how to be an advocate for your parents. And to get more information about Jack, please go to his website, which is My Elder Advocate. That's MyElderAdvocate.com. And while you're there, be sure to click over to his blog. And again, that's MyElderAdvocate.com. And you can also call him at 212-945-7550. So with that, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary get-acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
If you want to put the pep back in your step, Chad Lafferty has just what you're looking for. Dance is life. Life is dance.
It's only about dance.
It's about moving through life with style, gaining awareness of the never-ending, ever-flowing movement that accompanies all of life's activities. Dance is life. Life is dance. Broadcast every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Radio Network. Be sure to tune in and tap into the limitless healing that dance can provide.
Can't stop now.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Age-Wise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to Age-Wise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we're talking with Jack Halpern. And he is telling us how to be a good advocate for our parents, and which is such important information. And before we went into the break, Jack, you were talking about the discharge plan and nursing homes. And is there a rating system for nursing homes? You mentioned they go to rehab and to nursing homes and things like that. How do I know what is a good nursing home? Is there a rating system? How do I use it? Where do I find it?
Okay. There is a rating system. If you go to www.medicare.gov/NHCompare, or you could just put nursing home compare in Google and it'll take you right there. They do have a star rating system from one star to five stars, five stars, of course, being the best, and one star being the worst. You really don't want to deal with any facilities that are below a three-star. I'm very strict. I usually deduct a star. The star rating system is nothing more than rating nursing homes based upon inspections, based upon staff. And in many cases, they could be inaccurate, but you should certainly use that as a starting point. There are other rating systems that charge money on the Internet. You could find there's really no reason to pay for that money. These rating systems do not tell you which, you know, recommend nursing homes. There's no reason to pay for information that you could get free on the Medicare site. And there's no substitute for seeing it yourself. Certainly when you're choosing a nursing home, the things that you should look for the building being clean, the staff being clean, the residents being clean. You don't want to smell too many odors. You want the staff looking professional. You want them wearing identification. You want to see staff engaging residents, not watching TV, not chatting among themselves, not milling around. You want food that looks attractive and is nutritious. If you can, you should try to visit the facility during mealtime. You want to see the mix of residents. You don't want to see Alzheimer's residents mixed in with residents that are totally alert. You want to make sure that there's a good mix. You want to make sure that there's recreation, that they're doing activities, that they're getting good physical therapy.
Backing up just for a second, you said you don't want to see a mix of with dementia and alert?
Well, you don't want to see... You know, a lot of dementia patients mixed in with alert residents. I mean, it's not really good. It might not be good for your particular, for your loved one if they're only dealing with dementia patients. I'm not saying that everybody should be separated, but, you know, some places just have too many Alzheimer's residents they're not taking care of those that are alert and well.
Yeah, and what I also found, my mother was in specifically a dementia unit.
Well, that is,
but
that
before
is what I'm
that, she
that.
Was in one
yeah.
where there was a mix, and that's where the drugs came in, and we stopped it fast, but
right.
still the damage, you know, the short-term damage was done because they were so busy with the other ones, and they also had staff who were mm-hmm. specifically, who were not specifically trained for dementia.
Absolutely.
They were, you know, so you really have to look at all that and depend on what your own loved one's situation is.
Absolutely. And you also want to ask, when you're at the facility, don't be ashamed to ask other family members that are visiting. Ask them about the facility. You want to make sure that you don't see people that look like zombies, that look like they're over-medicated and they're not moving around. So that's always an indicator that they're managing, that they're chemically restraining or chemically managing their residents.
Yeah, and you mentioned talking with other family members. That's something that I did even when my mother was still relatively alert in the assisted living, and that is I gave my contact information to family members and I got theirs. And then when I visited, I would check in on their parent and see how they were doing when, you know, their family wasn't quote-unquote watching. And I would ask them to do the same thing for my mother so that it wasn't just everything was wonderful when I was there and then not wonderful later on. And fortunately, everything was wonderful all the time at the place
that
we went.
That is a wonderful idea. That is a great idea. And I often encourage people to do that and to, even if they can visit often, to have somebody, another family member or a friend just to drop in. Those residents in nursing homes that have relatives that are watching over them tend to get better care than residents that are not, you know, receiving visitors, because the staff will pay more attention to somebody who is receiving visitors. Even if you pay a college kid a couple of bucks to go in and visit, talk to my mother, when staff people see visitors, they tend to give them better care.
And if there is an issue with the mixture of dementia and not dementia, or the mixture of physical impairment versus mental impairment, how do you effectively, again, this is like before, how do you effectively advocate for a loved one in a nursing home? Is it different from in a hospital?
Well, it's the principles are pretty much the same. You know, be there as much as you can, like I said. Try to get somebody to be there if you can't be there. Try to visit the facility during different shifts so that different shifts will see you there. You might pay a student to visit. And don't sweat the small stuff. I mean, don't bother the staff. Well, the soup might be cold or, you know, my loved one's not getting enough potatoes and, you know, stuff like that. That tends to indicate that you're just a complainer and that you will complain about everything. So don't sweat the small stuff. You know, don't threaten the staff. You know, don't tell them what their job is. Speak to the doctor regularly. Nursing home doctors don't come as often, certainly, as hospital doctors. But you want to develop a relationship where you want to make them talk to you. You want to call them. You want to be persistent. Don't be afraid to be persistent. All right, you find out what medications your loved one is on and object to those that you feel are not right. You know, check your loved ones for bruises or cuts often. Make sure your loved one is not losing weight. You know, check for the bed sores. And if you see something, complain and try to keep a journal. And when you're complaining, you know, complain, go up the ladder. You know, don't run to the administrator. You know, with a complaint, you know, try to talk to the nurse, try to talk to her supervisor, go up the ladder.
Yeah, and that really is important because if you go over people's heads without letting them know, then you end up having a real adversarial kind of situation where they don't, they didn't have a chance to fix it, and yet you're sort of telling on them to their bosses, so that really is an important one. Also, by the way, one thing we don't mention, but it became a big issue with my mother, and that is to make sure that there's dental care, because that was an issue with my mother having teeth problems, and the tooth that was holding the bridge in came out, and then the bridge was hanging. I mean, you know, you don't think about it, but think also in terms of eyeglass and eye care and things like that.
Absolutely.
So that you can make sure that they're really getting the coverage that they need.
And especially hearing aids. I mean, hearing aids tend to get lost in the laundry, and many times staff members are not careful with those. And remember, I mean, Medicare is only going to pay for one set of hearing aids. So if the nursing home lost your hearing aids, they're responsible to replace them.
Okay, now we're going to take another break, so we're going to stop right here for just a short while. Again, this is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to Age Wise Living, and our guest today is Jack Halpern. And when we come back, he's going to be answering more questions about how to advocate for your parents. To get more information about Jack, you want to go to his website, which is myelderadvocate.com. And then while you're there, click over to his blog. And again, that's myelderadvocate.com. And you can also call him at 212-945-7550. I also want to remind you to get your free copy of My Legal and Financial Organizer, because it's really a great way of getting all the various and sundry legal and financial documents organized that Jack was talking about, and really it's a great list and who does what and all the rest of it. So to get that, all you have to do is go to agewiseliving.com. So again, that's agewiseliving.com. And with that, we're going to take a break, and we'll see you in a couple of minutes.
News, opinion.
Can you hear me?
Your voice counts. Call toll free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary get-acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com, to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to AgeWise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner. And my guest today is Jack Halperin, and he is talking us, giving us lots of great information about how to advocate for your parents. And when we went on the break, we were talking about effectively advocating for your loved one in a nursing home. And as we've been talking about, as an advocate, when I am advocating for my parent, what are my rights and what are my responsibilities?
Okay, of course, your right is it's the right of every nursing home and every resident in a nursing home to receive safe, compassionate, and dignified care. Of course, you have a responsibility to adhere to the nursing home rules as far as visiting and other rules. It's always best if you follow, what their rules are. I mean, it is your right to question the professionals about the care that your loved one is receiving. Complain when it's called for. Don't be afraid to complain. And things will be all right.
And also, most, if not all, nursing homes anyway, have, if you're in there for any length of time, especially as my mother was, she was there for the last about 5-6 years of her life, there were quarterly reviews where I was allowed to go to, and I did go to every one of them, where you sat down with everybody that was on her care staff. There were about 10 people in the room, and they all reported in as to what was going on, and I could ask questions. And I think it's so important to go to that. It's your right to go to it, right?
It is your right to go to it. It is your right to be there, and it is your right to ask any questions and to receive the answers that you're getting. Speak up. Don't be afraid to ask the tough questions and speak up and tell them how you would like things to go. I mean, these are very important. Don't be afraid to ask the right questions and be forceful about it. You know, be polite, but be forceful. You know, let them know that you're the advocate, and that that you're advocating for somebody and that you want things done the right way, as is your right.
Yeah, and it is just so important, as you've been saying over and over again, to be there, to be visible, and that sort of thing. And it's certainly your right to be there and to be visible and to keep an eye on what's really going on.
Keep an eye on Mom, because the more you keep an eye on Mom, the more the staff will realize that that they don't want to mess with you. They want to do things right by you. And I'm not trying to give the impression. I mean, these staff members are very hardworking people, and most of them do the right thing. You know, if you see something, complain. Complain properly. Complain in writing. Complain to the proper people. But don't be afraid to complain.
Yeah, and especially since with these days with cutbacks and things like that,
absolutely,
a lot of times they're doing things because they're understaffed and,
absolutely,
you know, and they can't get to your loved one in the moments that you want, but you got to make sure that that's not a regular thing, that,
right,
you know, they don't just leave them on the toilet or something like that for an hour because they're off doing something else.
Correct.
I have a question for you,
sure,
and I think this is one that is often confused. What's the difference between a rehab center and a nursing home? We have about 2 minutes for that answer.
Okay. The difference is a very basic difference. When you're going to come in, and if your loved one has to go what they call rehab, they always use the word rehab. I don't want you to conjure up images of a Burke Rehabilitation Center or a Rusk Institute. In most cases, and I'd say in 90% of the cases, even 95% of the cases, we're just talking about a bed in a nursing home, and we're talking about physical therapy, but it's just a bed in a nursing home.
The rehab center part of it.
The rehab center part.
Okay.
All nursing homes have rehab departments for physical therapy and occupational therapy, and that's what most of the cases you're going to get. So you're going to be choosing a nursing home. If the nursing home is a good nursing home, then they'll get good rehab. If they're in a bad facility, they might get good, you know, they might get good rehab, but they're in a facility where they're going to have to spend 23 hours without rehab, and their lives might be in danger.
Okay, so the rehab is sort of the temporary portion, and if it's a good nursing home and has a good rehab center, then that would be a good place for them when they get out of the rehab, but they still need to be a nursing home.
Period of time. Right. That would be a good place for them to go.
Great. Well, you know, this has been absolutely fascinating, and I'm really sorry to say that that is really all the time we have today. The time went so fast.
Right.
And I really want to thank you again, Jack. Our guest today is Jack Halpern. And I want to remind you that to get more information about Jack, just go to myelderadvocate.com. And while you're there, please do click over to the blog, because I get his blog on a regular basis, and the articles and the information is just absolutely fascinating and very useful. So again, that's myelderadvocate.com. And you can also call him at area code 212, that's in New York City, 212-945-7550. Again, that's 212-945-7550. And remember, too, that if you have any questions for Jack that you didn't get a chance to answer today, please email your questions to me at barbara@agewiseliving.com, and then he will answer them in upcoming AgeWise Living newsletters. So, that's barbara@agewiseliving.com. And also, don't forget, please, to get your free copy of my Legal and Financial Organizer, because it's a great way of getting all of the information organized and ready to go. Your best advocate is to plan and prepare in advance. I also encourage you to tune in next Tuesday morning, October 6th. Nope, that's not next Tuesday morning, and October 13th. At 10 a.m. Eastern, when I'm going to be interviewing Lily Sarathan, and she's going to be talking about how to be happy to 102, 102 years old. So, again, that's next Tuesday, October 13th. I had a great time today. I want to thank you all so much for listening. So until next week, this is your most appreciative host, Barbara Friesner, saying have a terrific week, and carpe diem, seize the day. Great, thank you.
We appreciate your joining us for AgeWise Living with host Barbara Friesner. Please tune in again next Tuesday morning at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, here on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.